All right, our scripture today is from Matthew 4:17-20. From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." Now, as Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and his brother Andrew, casting a net in the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of people." Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. So we're going to go fishing.
All right. Right, Pops, be honest. If a fish had taste buds, would it eat chicken liver?
It depends. Are they deep fried? And am I a catfish?
I'm not sure it matters whether you're a catfish, but I guess it's a fair point. So bass like fancy minnows. Catfish prefer liver. And we use hot dogs for bait. It feels so wrong to do that. What am I trying to catch with a hot dog?
Hey now, the disciples fished the Sea of Galilee with larvae and insects. At least we've upgraded to processed meats.
Oh yes, from grasshoppers to glow-in-the-dark crankbait. Is that progress?
You know, fishing really hasn't changed that much. Fish still bite for the same reasons.
Because they're hungry?
No, hunger doesn't lure them, but scent, vibration, color, and motion, they're all irresistible to them.
So basically, fish like pretty, wiggly snacks.
Exactly. Kind of like people.
Like Jell-O.
If you think about it.
Wait, are you calling me a fish, or am I a glow-in-the-dark crankbait? Should I be offended?
I'm saying people are drawn to what feels alive, like joy and kindness, peace. No one's lining up for stale bait.
Look, I'm fishing, and I've fished here 10 times, and I've caught nothing again.
That's because you're fishing in the wrong water.
Doesn't the whole pond have the same water?
Ah, but remember the 80-20 rule?
The one that I just learned yesterday?
Yes.
That 80% of the fish come from 20% of the water?
Which means most of what we catch won't come from our first try, or our second, or maybe even our 10th.
Are we still talking just about fish?
Mostly. Fish and faith. Sometimes our faith calls us to change what we've been trying, or where we're fishing. If we want to find joy for ourselves and create disciples along the way.
So, less frustration casting and more patience.
Now you're preaching.
Hey, did you just catch a fish? How'd you do that?
Simple. Simple hook, curved just right, pointed, held steady.
Do you think my sermons need better hooks?
Well, I'm just saying, fishing for people works the same way. Grace pulls and love holds. No need to yank the line. Just keep the tension.
So maybe faith isn't about flashy lures then?
Nope. Just being present. Sitting on the dock. Appreciating creation. Taking that appreciation into the world so we see everyone else the way God sees them. Then letting God bring in the lines.
So you know, even if I don't catch any fish today,
it's still a good day to reach people. Our scripture reading today tells us the familiar tale of Jesus walking along the sea and calling his first 4 disciples.
We hear his invite to make them fishermen for people. We see that they immediately drop everything they're doing and follow Jesus. Did you ever think about the people that were in the boat? They didn't really name a whole lot of people in the boat, except they did tell us that the second 2 disciples had their father Zebedee in the boat, and everybody left him. Whatever became a Zebedee? Do you ever wonder about that? Someday I think maybe I need to do a sermon about Zebedee. But today, I thought it might be nice to ponder a different perspective. And the reason why is 2 things. For one, where is this event happening in the timeline of Jesus' ministry? And 2, what need was he fulfilling when he went to call the disciples? For the first part, where in Jesus' timeline did this happen? In chapter 3, the first thing that happens, we see Jesus be baptized. He's immediately then swept out to the desert where he's taunted by Satan. Directly after he returns from this event, he's told that his cousin, someone he loves, Also a friend, the one that he met in the water when he was baptized, had been taken captive. We're talking about Jesus and his cousin John the Baptist. So, what do you think? Did Jesus know what was going to happen to John the Baptist after he was taken captive? Probably. Jesus knows every name. He knows everything that's going to happen. He's God in person. So if you put yourself in Jesus' shoes, how do you think he felt knowing that John had been taken captive? Several of you, probably most of you, are friends with me on Facebook, and you know that a week or so ago, my son had to put his service dog down. She was old. Her body was all worn out. She was just done. And it was time, but we didn't rush into the decision. We took her to the vet. We waited about 24 hours while they tried some things, and then they called us and told us what we already knew, that she was needing to go. You know, those last couple of days, we knew what was going to happen, but it didn't make it feel okay. Our stomachs hurt. Our hearts hurt. So if we imagine that Jesus knew what was going to happen with John the Baptist, how did his heart feel? Probably struggling. The news of John the Baptist came to Jesus right after he got back from experiencing the taunting of Satan. And he went for a walk by the sea. And he called to the men who had been followers of John the Baptist. And he invited them to fish for people. That's where, in the timeline of Jesus' ministry, this happens. And so then to that second question, what need was Jesus fulfilling when he called the disciples? Well, now earlier in the chapter, we also read that he was fulfilling prophecy. But also, since he had just come from hearing this news and experiencing the things he did with Satan, maybe you arrived at the same conclusion I did, that Jesus' heart was heavy with the news. And so I suspect he did have something on his mind as he walked along the shore of the sea. And I'm probably not going to give you the answer you're expecting. What do you think he was thinking about? I say the fish. Not the kind that you hook. The kind that is the people who are out there who don't even know yet that they need to turn around and go another way. The people who are nibbling after the shiny things that Satan sprinkles in front of them. Jesus knew there was a whole ocean of people who needed to find a better way. And I think he was wondering, how do we save every single one of them? Don't you think that might have been what was on his mind? So in case you were wondering why John and I led the message today with a conversation about bait, well, it was kind of to help introduce our fish theme, but also because I wanted to think about the perspective of the people, not the one in the boats. We usually talk about the guys in the boats, don't we? And what was it like to give everything up? And how did they respond so swiftly? I thought it might be nicer to talk about the fish. The people that need to be drawn to the lifeline that is the Word of God. The salvation of God and the good news. Could you guys use good news today? Could everybody use some good news today? There's been an awful lot of sad news, hasn't there? There is something better for every one of us than all of the sad news, than all of the crumbs that Satan puts in front of us that lead us into darkness and bitterness and division and stuckness. Stuckness is a Pastor Julie word, I think. I introduced that one. Stuckness, that's where we are. When we think that we can rely on the world to fulfill us. And you know what? It cannot. It will not. There is only one who can and does and will save us. Maybe everyone here knows that. Maybe some people are not sure. But if you are one of the people who knows and you want to become a fisherman, does everybody want to go fishing today? Yes and no, right? We kind of want to go, yeah, ice fishing, exactly. We kind of want to go fishing, but it's a little nippy out there. When I was a kid, we used to go fishing often on Sunday afternoon. And someone told me, Julie, you don't really like to go fishing. You like to go catching. Herman told that. See, fishing is standing there quietly and patiently and casting and hoping you're in the right water. And mostly, we're waiting for the fish to come and find us. So I think the person who told me that when I was a kid was right. Because fishing is one thing, but I really love to go catching. Don't you? So what kind of bait do we need to use to catch people for God? You heard us talk a little bit about bait, livers, and hot dogs, and crankbaits. So before we talk more, before John talks about bait, I thought it might be fun, remember I'm trying to bring you good news, we're trying to have a little fun, to remind you what kind of bait not to use. Bait that probably won't work. Do you have a video to show us?
Sorry I'm late.
No, it's okay. I thought you were here.
My coffee is hot.
You connect it works.
Oh, I just burnt my tongue.
You know what? You think that's hot? You gotta try that burn, like 10 billion times worse, all over your entire body as you fall into the pits of hell because you haven't surrendered your life over to the will of Jesus Christ. Huh? That's a burn you won't get over. Saved you a cookie.
So as you watch the video, and you think about the people sitting around the table sipping their coffee really loudly and how they were looking, what word kind of goes through your mind? Yes, well, who said that? I heard it.
Awkward.
I know I heard it. Awkward. It seemed like a good idea to begin thinking about how we do want to be evangelists. We are all called to be evangelists, if you didn't know. By remembering that it is possible to come on too strong, to not read the room, so to speak. Because that's part of the mission for us, to read the room, to see and hear and pay attention to the people around us, to see what it is they need, where they're at, so that we can properly respond to them rather than overwhelming them. So that's why we want to talk about what bait should we use to draw people to God.
Well, wouldn't it be a good idea when we're going to our tackle box and selecting bait to start with using what Jesus had taught us, what he told us in Matthew 22:37-40, which is simple, love God and love others. Don't we all love God? All right, let's hear it. Do you love God? Amen.
Yes.
Let's get an amen for that. So what do you think? Do you think do you believe that showing God's love will bring others closer to God? Of course it will. We were made to love and be loved. So we tend to respond to love by drawing in. What if we put love into action by tossing in some other nice lures like kindness, support, encouragement? Imagine a world where we all showed kindness and love to all of God's children instead of judging others. Doesn't that sound great? It sounds like we might be looking through rose-colored glasses at that one. But it really sounds awesome. You know what else it sounds like, though? Something we said earlier, all of us did. It sounds like thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Heaven, what an amazing thing. What do we think of when we think of heaven? Endless worship, endless joy, praise, love, kindness, all the awesome things. But do we think of taking sides in heaven? So if we really mean it when we pray the Lord's Prayer, then shouldn't we try as hard as we can all the time to live those words? So let me reframe the question from before. Wouldn't it be great if we always gave support and didn't cast suspicions? Always provide encouragement, which might draw people into a better way. rather than sometimes offering those bitter words or thinking we can force others to change their minds. Our former district superintendent once said, faith is believing God will change the hearts that need to be changing. There's a lot to that. God will change the hearts that need to be changing, but he's using us. So when you leave today, what bait do you want to carry with you? And then, also, who are the fish? Who are the fish you're going to talk to? It's all of those in need of God, right? All of mankind. Mankind is such an interesting word. You know, it's a blend of human and kindness. Such an awesome thing. Kindness allows us to see people as God's children without seeing each other's petty differences. When we see, rather than celebrate difference, when we see difference, we categorize people. We often draw lines. We pick sides. Wouldn't it be great if fear didn't ever overpower the opportunities for us to gain wisdom by learning from others? Why does someone have to be wrong for us to be right? Why do we attempt to sometimes justify pain instead of just bandaging wounds? Where is the love sometimes? We look at the world and everything going on today, and sometimes you have to wonder, where is the love? Do we think we're fishing with Jesus if we're involved in those divisions? In our fun video, we laughed at the awkward way that Tommy came in way too hot when he meant to tell Eddie about God. We recognize this fear and trembling approach instead of the love of God that we see in Jesus. It's funny over coffee, but the video is so accurate. So accurate in the way that sometimes we find we use our own words. When you recall the others around the table, how effective was Tommy's speech? Things often affect those all around, not just who we speak with. Was he, and are we fishing in the right water? Always using the best bait? Trying to bring others to God's lifeline? I encourage us all to actually contemplate our thoughts, our words, and our actions towards others in all our conversations, all our discussions with our friends, spouses, or those we're in a group disagreement with. We should ask ourselves, are we fishing with fear or are we fishing with the love that looks like Jesus? Wouldn't it be great if we could just jump up and go fishing with Jesus? But isn't it awesome to know that Jesus is always there with us when we do go fishing?